Blog Talk Radio.
Out there, how you doing, everybody? Yes, once again, it's Thursday. You know what time it is. It's time for Ask Miss V Sports. I am, of course, the co-host of this show, James Acevedo. Of course, the main star of this show is on the line right now, Miss V, the toy lady. Are you there? There?
What's going on?
There you are. It's nice that everything happened in the first take. That's great. I love it. I love it. See, we're professionals here, you know. We know what we're doing. So, you know, we'll be talking about sports with, as Ms. V would say, a little bit of sex. So you can give us a call with your sports questions and comments. You can reach us 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. And we only have an hour because you people out there don't want to retweet and have us do 2 hours, but that's okay. We'll just do this hour and be out.
Go take a nap.
Yeah. Especially when Ms. V is not really her usual self today, unfortunately. She's very tired, you know. So, you know, bendito. She's very tired.
Okay.
Yeah, but she'll be all right. You know, I motivate her, you know, the way I am. You know, I get her all excited about it. Before you know it, the hour will be gone anyway. So, no, but it does because it means it's fun, you know. It's not that, you know, anything bad. It's you know, goes by real fast. When
I got an announcement to make. Have an announcement to make.
Oh, this is good. Oh, well, the floor is yours.
We're going to take a break in July. We're going to take either a 1 or 2 week break.
Okay.
We're going to, and that break is going to come actually after Exotica. So for anybody who knows when Exotica is, that's the 11th through the 13th. So the entire week afterwards we'll be off. And we'll post if we're going to take 2 weeks. Right now we're taking one, but looks like, you know, it might go into 2 weeks where we're just going to take a break. We'll have some replays of the show going, and
right.
We'll still be tweeting. So everybody will be able to catch us via Twitter. Twitter.
Right. Oh, yeah, especially me, but especially my crazy ass. So,
so in that 2 weeks, you know, because we've got some transitions going on during that time, so we'll
yes. Major.
We'll be on Twitter taking questions and stuff, so
yeah.
It'll be a lot going on. So, but like I said, you know, we'll have the replay going on, and the chat room, when we do the replays, will actually be open. So for anybody who's near a computer, even though the show will be replaying, I think that I could open the chat room.
Really?
Where it could still be live chat going.
Wow.
So
it'd be funny if they really think it's a live show. Like, if you just didn't say nothing and just play, see what happens. I'm trying to call the show, no one's picking up.
They get the recording message. This show isn't on.
Hey, what do you mean? What do you mean it's not on? Yeah, so
I'm listening right now.
Yeah, but I hear Ms. V and some crazy Puerto Rican, and they're talking. I don't understand.
So, and that means these After Dark Sports, Ask Miss V Sports, and It's All About Sex will be in at least one, minimum 1 week.
I'm depressed.
We're definitely not going to be on the air.
I'm depressed. That's
well, I'll be celebrating my birthday during that time, too. So.
Well, that's different. Okay, then that's something to I at least could wish you a happy birthday.
You know, so we'll be on the air right before my birthday then. I'll be in Chicago for Exotica to kick off my birthday weekend, and that's the week after my birthday. So, as they say, for those of y'all who think I will be partying, I will not. Last year I was in New Orleans, so I really was partying, and I actually came back from New Orleans and did my show. So, but this time I'm going to take an actual real break, and, you know, we're going to get some things together. Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on. So
oh, hell yeah.
It's
hell
a little
yeah.
bit different than last year. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Plus, you know, there'll be some stuff popping up on the, we can make the small announcement, the V's After Dark toy, our first, the first official V's After Dark toy will be debuted in Chicago. And that's the only hint you guys get, because the toy will not go on the website until
then,
after Chicago.
Oh, after Chicago, wow. So, wow, so this will be around just after 4th of July, around that time, right? Like the exact... Cool. Okay.
Yep. So this toy will be debuted at Exotica, and we will be having all kind of fun in Exotica. We'll be there for 3 days, three long, exhausting days.
Ugh, I know. You told me that schedule.
You guys can come out and meet me.
Oh, yeah.
You guys can. You'll be able to come meet me and take pictures with me and have fun and buy toys. The big thing is, because if not, this is, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put that out there so people got to keep me to my word. If you don't buy a toy, you can't get a picture for free. If you want a picture and you're not going to buy a toy, picture's going to cost you $5.
That's a genuine price, actually. I thought you at least say 10.
No, I'm charging $5. If you don't buy a toy,
gotcha.
You got to pay $5 for a picture. If you do buy a toy, the picture with me is free.
I think that's a good deal, buying the toy, because then you get the picture, you get to take a picture with you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So what if they buy more than one toy? Does it matter, still one picture?
It's still only one picture. Okay. We're not doing a damn portfolio for nobody. Not even portfolios, okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to throw a monkey wrench into the program, trying to make things complicated. Well, that's good. Yeah, I can't wait. Will you be? I sound like a reporter all of a sudden. I'm your co-host. Yeah, I turned to a reporter. Will you be doing tweeting during this Exotica time?
Yes.
Those 3 days. Ooh.
I'll be tweeting the whole time I'm there.
Nice.
For everybody to know how I did Exotica last year, I actually broadcast the show live from Exotica last year.
Oh, that's cool.
And the only way I will do it live is if my co-host will be available to actually do the show, because it's so hard for me to, there is so loud.
Oh, yeah.
I did it live and I couldn't hear anything, you know, and all you heard was background noises. I mean, you heard the loudness.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun show, but if I could get my co-host to be on the air those 3 nights, then we might do it, you know, because then my co-host can kind of do the show and we can, he can do the talking, and I can chime in every now and then with all the nonsense.
Oh,
that's something y'all have to talk.
That's
something y'all have to talk to my co-host about.
That's not a bad idea. I see what you're saying. So, in other words, I still do the show, and then maybe you chime in. Like, you come in, you're saying, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And the show will be at, but see, the whole thing, the show goes at different times when it's at Exotica, because it would go each one of those 3 days.
Yeah. That's the thing, because it goes through the weekend, and I work weekends, so it's kind of,
So we have to figure out, but see, the whole thing is that we're not set at our regular time frame when we're there. So like we do, I think the Friday night show I did last time from 9 to 10, I did like really short shows. We did hour shows.
Oh, I could do that.
We didn't do 2-hour shows. We did like hour shows.
That's good. Yeah, that's fine.
You
right
know.
Nine to 10. Yeah, that's fine.
We did like 9 to 10 on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did, it was weird how we did it, but then Friday we had to do it in the daytime. So we did like a 1 to 2 on a Friday because the show ends at like 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Saturday's a big day. That's a long day, Saturday.
Saturday is the big, big day.
That's the marathon.
But, you know, it's been a deal. I'm not sports motivated tonight, but
Maybe I can.
Well, I'm going to say one thing.
Good.
I got a problem with my fucking Tigers. But before we even get into that, seriously, Megatron, I love you, baby. But how the fuck do you get the damn side piece pregnant and bring her around the girlfriend? Are you fucking kidding me? I thought Megatron had more sense than that.
Well, got to remember, was he in his 20s, early 20s, some shit like that?
Megatron is older than that, Calvin Jackson?
Oh, yeah?
He
well,
is early 20s?
Yeah.
It's
no, I'm just
Megatron.
Saying, you're having too much fun.
No, that ain't...
You ain't thinking
he
right.
He ain't no baby.
Okay, but still,
Holla, you know, I mean, he not, when I say he's older than Ndamukong Suh.
Okay.
And what, Ndamukong Suh's been with us for 3 years now. I think him and Matthew Stafford came on about, he's pushing 30. I mean, he ain't in his 30s, but.
The late 20s.
He's not no 22, 23-year-old either.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Megatron, I'm so fucking disappointed, you know.
You were thinking you had a shot?
You know.
Is that what it is?
You know what? I'm disappointed, you know, but I just hope that shit don't come onto the field. That's all I can say.
Well, that's,
you know,
all you ask. That's all you ask.
I just hope that shit don't come on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, see, if it affects your fucking game, I'm going to be the fucking fan that's going to beat your ass and ask for a refund on my shirts because I wear too much Megatron shit. I love Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You slobbered over the phone, and I see it coming out of the other end over here. You talk about Megatron.
Well, I love Megatron. You know what?
No, I know.
But the whole thing is that he is a, first of all, he beat the Madden curse. Think about it. He beat the Madden curse.
Yes.
He was,
I know you're talking about.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's been on,
he
a
was
couple
on the cover.
Covers.
Yeah.
He was on Madden. What was the last Madden game? He was on the cover of that.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of Sports
Illustrated.
Too.
Yeah, that's a curse,
and
too.
And
guess
what? He is still fucking healthy. He beat the fucking curse because normally whenever they're on the fucking
mm-hmm.
cover of Madden, they get
kiss
fucked up or have a shitty year.
The kiss of death.
And when they hit Sports Illustrated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, I mean, he done came through all that and you got to have fucking side piece and baby mama drama? Come on now. And you ain't even married. I mean, the good thing is that he's not married, so we're not talking about him committing adultery. But still, you know, side piece.
Yeah, that's not smart.
I just don't want the shit to come onto the field. You know,
well, that's what you
at the end of the day, what you do in your personal life, that's fine, but don't let that shit come on the field. And basically, keep the bitches away from the game. Because it's obvious. It's very obvious now.
Yes.
That it could be some sloppiness. And, you know, I don't want to have to be, I don't want to have to be your fan and hunt your ass down and ask for a refund on all my Megatron shit. I mean, I have more Megatron attire than any other Lions player. I think a Stafford shirt, but I have like
you
a lot of Megatron shirts. Well, I love Herman Moore also, so let's get that clear. I don't just have, you know, when Herman Moore was player, I have a Herman Moore jersey. I can't fit the bitch, but I have my Herman Moore jersey from back in the day.
Let's
get this very clear that, you know, when we have a good player that's out there and they're really doing what I expect them, because I don't have a Sue, let's get that clear. I don't have a Sue jersey. I'm not a Sue fan. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think he's an excellent player. Let's get that clear for anybody who's an Ndamukong Suh fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything bad about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not one of his big fans. I don't like him enough to wear his number on my back or on my chest.
Okay.
You know, somewhat of a Stafford fan, he ain't fucking up. You know, he's getting better. So I do have one of his jerseys, you know, but the money that I invest in my football jerseys, you know, I expect these motherfuckers to win and not bring that shit on the field. Therefore, Megatron, get your shit together. Put the dick back in the pants and figure out which bitch you want to be with. You want to be with the side chick or you want to be with the, you know, the one. Which one of them are you taking home to your fucking mama? That's at the end of the day. Who you taking home to mama? Because just because the side chick got pregnant, first of all, you ain't been using condoms. So you probably want
to
go get tested, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you fucking two bitches. So you ain't using a condom probably with neither one of them. So you needs to get that checked also.
See, ladies and gentlemen.
You might want to make sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And
go
check
ahead.
To make sure that baby is yours. Because you a pro fucking football player. You better have a fucking paternity test while that baby is in the womb. I'm not saying no chick is a hoe. I'm just saying, you know what it is. You got the change out there, you know. It would be kind of like if I were of childbearing age, somebody knocking me up because I don't want no more kids. They wouldn't be knocking me up because they want to be with me. They'd be knocking me up and then saying they're going to take care of the child so they get child support. You know, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm not of childbearing age no more, so I don't have to worry about the getting knocked up shit.
And you can say, whew, whoosh. As long as our last topic don't happen, you know, with the pillow talk, as long as you don't do no pillow talk and you keep quiet.
You know what? I'm pretty good. I don't see, you know. See, I've taken precautions to go with that also.
Good.
So
that's good.
I still don't. You know, some folks don't have to worry, but I can tell you something that I learned early on, because we always say we talk about sex. Talk about sports with a little bit of sex.
That's what I was about to bring up earlier, just a minute ago. Yep.
But, see, the one thing that I learned a long time ago is that I don't believe in the lie of, baby, I'm going to pull out and you won't get pregnant. Them fucking little sperm find what they want. And don't no man needs to believe a woman who said, don't worry, I'm on the pill.
I think it depends on if the woman's that fertile or the guy's sperm's that strong. I think it depends on both.
It don't matter. It don't matter. It really don't matter. Because I put it like this. See, they have too many fucking things out there. And because of our current president, birth control is now free. Something that it wasn't before. So there's no reason for a bitch to really get knocked up because of the current medical care that's available to all citizens of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and even the ones who are not here legally. Female care is free as far as preventative care. You know, birth control is free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's all free, but I know that pills are free. Or at
the condoms have been free?
Yeah, condoms are available. I think they're available. I think when a man goes in. And I'm not talking about going to Planned Parenthood. Don't get me wrong. I love Planned Parenthood because when I needed them, they were there very much for me. But I'm talking about regular birth control because we won't say what Miss V is using, but Miss V is taken care of.
Yeah.
You know.
Using Drano.
No.
It's a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
And
that was for real.
All my plumbing works okay. All my plumbing is intact.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that clear. There's nothing missing out of my plumbing.
Oh.
No
by the way,
parts. No plumbing parts are missing.
By the way, a little exclusive right here. At the end of the first period, the Rangers and Canadians no score going into the first intermission. Good game so far. I know you don't care, but this is – I've said it on my Twitter.
Know.
I've said on my Twitter, the Rangers don't win this game. I don't care what anybody said. They're going to lose. They're going to lose the 7. They're going to choke a 3-1 lead, I'm telling you. They better
win
tonight.
I didn't hear what the score was with the Tigers and the Oakland A's. I mean,
my dear. No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
How did you –
The game should be over. It should be over.
It should be – What, they played earlier in the day or something?
They played earlier at, what inning they were in at 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And you know
they're
out
in Oakland. Okay. Who they were playing, you remember?
Well, they're out in Oakland.
Oh,
Oakland
A's, okay. Or the Athletics, if you want to get technical. Let's see.
With the fucking ugly green and yellow uniforms.
I
hated that shit when I lived out there.
I kind of like those.
I don't like their uniforms.
And the yellow ones back in the day, too. The yellow and the green lettering.
I don't like their uniforms.
I don't
like their uniforms.
I don't know. It kind of looked, you know, I don't know. Maybe because it looked like, no, it's not gay. It's not gay. I never saw it as
gay.
Green and yellow is not
gay.
Then the Packers are gay. Because that's the same fucking colors, green and yellow.
They are gay. They are gay.
Well, Packers. Packers don't help them. You know, the name Packers don't help them. You know, fudge Packers. But the A's, I don't give a fuck about the A's. I'm just saying the colors don't look gay to me. I just don't. I would say if they look gay.
Okay, for anybody who say y'all hear me say they're looking gay, I'm not an Oakland fan. I lived out there and I wasn't a fucking fan. So you have to realize this is just a straight up, I'm not an Oakland fan. Period. I'm not a fan.
Let me see. Ooh, I just saw something. I just saw the score. God damn it. I missed it. Your score for your Tigers.
Speaking of gay.
Ooh, they won 5-4. They won.
Finally.
Yeah, they won 5-4.
Who was the pitcher?
Parcello.
Who was pitching today?
Parcello.
Well, he's all right.
And Nathan saved the game. His third team saved.
I was going to say, because our bullpen has been shit. That's why I'm not feeling them. You know, I'm there. You know, maybe they gotta send me a drink or something. I'm not feeling my Tigers.
Yeah.
You know, I am very pro all Detroit teams, but right mm-hmm. now, I ain't really feeling my Tigers.
Wait, you're not feeling your Tigers, huh? Let me
see. I'm not feeling them right now.
Yeah, really. I mean, I know they haven't been playing well, but I know I saw their record, and I'm saying to myself, this V's lost her mind. Because they're still over, like, 10 games over 500, and they at least have a 4-5-game lead in a division, some shit like that. They're going to be fine.
I'm still not feeling them. I'm not feeling the Tigers.
So, wait a minute. So, you're saying as of right now, you don't think they have a shot to at least go in the World Series?
I didn't think they had a shot. I just said I'm not feeling them right now. They're doing too much shit to piss me off. And I'm going to always be a Tigers fan.
Yeah, 30 and
I'm 20. Going to always – I'm still going to always be a Tigers fan.
They're first place, Missy.
I'm still not feeling them.
I'm just saying.
Let me not feel them right now. That's my team.
Okay, I'm
you
just
didn't
saying.
Hear me? I thought they were going to lose.
They're not in last place or under 500.
They're disappointing.
You know what I'm saying?
It's still disappointing.
Could be
it's
worse.
Still disappointing.
It could be worse.
They could be, but maybe I'm just not feeling Detroit right now.
It's early.
I'm not feeling
they're first
a lot
place.
Of Detroit
thing. It's 30-20. First place. Relax.
Let's talk about my boxing. Let's talk about something
Ooh,
I can get
right.
into.
Oh, yo, we got to talk about this because I thought you slept through this match at first when I saw the beginning of this boxing match. But we'll get
Somebody
to it.
Somebody thought I slept through it?
No, you know why? Because we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, this Adonis Superman Stevenson, who's the WBC light heavyweight champion, and he went against this Polish dude named Andrew, but he spells Andrew, like, different. It's like A-N-D.
But they pronounce it different because they say Andres.
Oh, I thought, okay, Fonfara. Fonfara,
yes.
And it was his first world title yes. bout. He was like number three ranking, which I don't understand
yep.
if you're number three, how you get a title shot, but okay, whatever. But homeboy in the beginning, the first round.
He got a title shot because, remember, Adonis wants to fight my boy.
Yeah.
Who just
What's
won.
His name? What's his name? I don't know. They said the end. I forgot. but I remember the first round.
And we just talked about him a couple of weeks ago. So
I know.
Like,
it's so embarrassing right now.
Don't think that we don't know
well,
boxing.
Porter, right?
We do
is
know
Porter
boxing.
Or something? Is it Porter or whatever?
No, the heavy, the 49-year-old, my boy, the one
oh,
that
homeboy.
We watched the fight.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Ah, shit. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he was, yeah, that was big. I'd be good. That's right.
That's
damn.
Cool, because, you know, that's like really your number one right there. So you figure you got your number three and you figure, I think Adonis is like number two. So number three and number two fighting. That's
yeah.
how he got it, because remember, there you know, now you just don't have one fucking belt in boxing. You know, they got 5 million belts.
Yeah.
But back to what we were saying, I mean, what did you say you thought I was sleeping on this fight? Come on now, I got to hear
okay,
this.
Okay, you know why?
This
is why. Only because of the first round. It's not because of the rest of the fight. It's because of the first round. Because homeboy gets knocked the fuck down right away, you know, Fonfara, and I'm like, wait a minute. And homeboy was coming at him. Adonis was like attacking him, like, and he looked like he was retreating, you know, this Fonfara guy, and he was like backing out. So man, this guy looked like he's already want to stop the fight, like he's already not gonna fight. But then he got out of that round, you know, they fought a couple more rounds, and then he gets knocked down again in the fifth round. It was like a body shot. Yeah, like he took like a body shot, and.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were real technical with below the belt, because there were some punches where, I mean, not that he hit him below the belt, but technically it hit him in the waist. You know what I'm saying? You know how to get like
yeah, but you know because yeah, but they gave that area and they got such a wide area now.
Mhm. And he looked like a couple of times he kind of hit him there. I mean, not that it was really below the belt, but you know it's questionable. And
yeah.
He really went down, but yo, I give him credit. This Polish dude, this Fonfara guy, he came back fighting, man. I mean, he really impressed me. And not only that, he knocked Adonis down in the ninth round. I was like, holy
nice.
Shit. And I shit you not, I had no idea who's gonna win, so it made the fight better. You know what I mean? Like I was watching it like if it was live. So I was like, oh my god, he's gonna fucking beat him. Because from the eighth round on, he was actually, you know, he won at least the eighth and ninth round. There's no question about it, you know, over Adonis. He did, because he was really coming back on him. But then, because you could tell Adonis was getting very fatigued, because they said that only one time he went to the 12th round. He's like 1-0 in the 12th round.
But,
like,
yeah,
you know?
But they said when he goes to the 12th,
he wins.
He wins.
Yeah, that, yeah. See, now this is my
but
thing.
But you see, but the 12th round, all the way up until the last minute,
yep.
He was beating the shit out of him. You know, he's like, bring it on, bitch. You know, yeah, you got that you got the ninth round, but motherfucker, this is my, you know, first of all,
yeah.
He at home.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Yeah, even though it was Montreal, but it's
home.
French. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but remember, Montreal is where he calls home, but he's from
mm-hmm.
Haiti, and he had
yeah.
the blessings both of Haiti and Montreal. So, you know, he had an advantage right there because,
mm-hmm.
You ain't just got one country. You got two countries backing your ass.
Yeah. Not bad,
And the Montreal. But, you see, did you see the colors he had on?
Mm-hmm.
Cront Jim. You know, that's one of Emmanuel Stewart's boys.
Yes.
God rest his soul.
Yes, I saw that piece. Yes, yes. He trained one of the big-time fighters. He traded all these guys, you know, Hearns and all these other guys I saw.
Well,
was...
see, Kronk is still around. They were getting ready to open up another gym. So Kronk is, you know, when people see Kronk, people wearing Kronk, the boxers that are wearing Kronk, they're not wearing it just to wear it. They're
okay.
wearing it because there's still Kronk being, the gym that was here is gone, but they're rebuilding a new one.
Oh, okay.
They're looking for a new location, so everybody who is in that Kronk family is still part of that Kronk family. That's
okay.
why when they wear Kronk, one of the gyms here, Recreation Center or something, got sued here because they were using the Kronk name,
really?
And they went and did a cease and desist on them and said, listen, you know, you can't use it.
Okay.
And out of respect, you know, they went on and said, you're right, we, you know, we just wanted the honor. And they was like, no, because you know, even though our old facility is gone, we're not gone out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting funny because they still, you know, the Kronk Gym was started and continues to be for inner city children who want
mm-hmm.
a box. You know, you've got that, you've got a few female boxers out there.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of female boxers are coming out of Kronk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, now that I've given everybody their boxing lesson.
No, but that's good. That's good that you put out there like that. Even I learned something. That's good. That's good information. So that's interesting stuff.
Well,
yeah,
know,
but the fight was real good.
Boxing.
I just like how they were both, like, reacting. It was like a Rocky movie. You know, it was like, okay, you bring it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a, okay, we, you know, stick and move. It was actually, but the thing is, freaking Adonis, he was getting a little too cocky. He's like, dude, you know, just keep fighting. Don't do that shit. Don't put your hands out.
And that's,
you know,
like, come on, bring it on. Like, he, like, okay, bitch, you still got a minute and a half left. In their box.
Exactly.
You know, but you know what? I think, really, you know, I'm not a boxer, so this is one thing that I'll put out there. I'm not a boxer, but I'm a boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that from playing sports, especially playing different sports, especially since I'm a soccer mom, you don't see the clock. You know, certain sports, you don't see the clock going.
No.
And you may think that it's almost over, even though for them, at 10 seconds, they, you know, ring that small bell
yeah,
and let them
the
know.
Thing. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
The warning.
But
yeah.
still in your mind, you're like, this shit got to be over because I know we've been going. So in his mind, he may have thought that he was almost at the 10-second mark. Not saying that he was right for what he did. But I'm just saying, when you're in there and you're going and that adrenaline is going,
yeah.
you can
oh, yeah.
think it. But see, what got me, and I think something should have been said, you know, other than what the ref did, was at the end of the 11th when Farrar still went after him after the bell had rung.
Yeah, I know. He still punched him in the
he
face.
He was out of order.
Yeah, and then he cursed him out, too.
I was like, you
then
know,
he cursed
so
out too.
That's one of the reasons why I know that even though it was after the bell, I know they took some points for him from that because that shit was fucked up. The bell done rang. He's getting ready to walk. And you still going? Come on, bitch. You already done lost the fight. There is no need to take it to that level, you
mm-hmm.
know. And he better be glad that Adonis didn't come back out swinging, but they both got disqualified, and you don't want that either.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you won by unanimous,
you know, it's
decision,
one of those things.
Which it wasn't a surprise, you know. But I give the Polish guy credit, man. He hung. I really thought he was going to be done. Well, after that first round, I thought, oh, this fight going to be over, like, in the next couple of rounds at
well,
least.
Considering considering the two previous fights, you know.
Yeah, I didn't bother. That's why I asked you.
You know, the two fights before that one were just like.
Boring?
You know. They weren't boring, but the whole thing was that you had one fight that went 12 rounds where there was a low blow. That was the first fight, Charlo versus Oda.
Okay.
And anybody who knows who Jermell Charlo is, which I didn't know who the hell he was until I looked up his record. Him and his brother are twins, and they're both boxers. And I forget what damn belt they got.
Oh, yeah, they said something. Like, one got born 24 seconds later than the other, some shit like that.
And they're true twins, you know, so it's weird with that, you know, but they're both boxers and they both are ranked boxers. They're not just bullshit boxers.
I
didn't know who they were before I watched, but, you know, I wasn't really impressed with that fight. I mean, the Lemieux-Guerrero fight, I was really less impressed with because Lemieux knocked out Guerrero in the third round, you know, so... That was like, okay. I mean, out of the three of them, the main event was really the main event. You know, sometimes
exactly.
The main event don't live up to its name.
The main event.
The main event for tonight, because, see, for anybody who doesn't know who Adonis Stevens is, Adonis Stevens, I don't know why they said that was his first time on TV, because that was not his first time on TV.
Yeah, I heard that.
I didn't know
if that was true or not.
They kept saying it. That's not true, because I've known who Adonis Stevens is. But that might have been his first fucking time on Showtime, because
maybe
he was watching on HBO.
They just misspoke, maybe.
You know, but when they kept saying it, I'm like, I know who Adonis Stevens is. You know, this is not a new name to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for people who don't have both Showtime and HBO, it would be a new name, because if all you're watching is Showtime... Or if you're like me, who I also watch Showtime, I watch HBO, and I watch NBC Sports, because NBC has a lot of the boxing, because a lot of these boxers, if you actually are following boxing, and I try my best to follow, but there's so much boxing on, sometimes I can't keep up with it. A lot of these boxers, like I told you, the guy who, and I keep forgetting his name, but he works for the Federal Reserve.
Oh,
but
okay.
Before he did his national debut, I can't remember if it was HBO or Showtime. Before he got there, I saw him boxing on NBC Sports.
Oh, really?
So, and he's still working full-time. He hasn't given up his day job yet. But I saw him first boxing on NBC. So, when I tell people I'm really a true boxing fan, some of these people I see before they hit HBO and Showtime, because that's how much I like boxing. I can watch boxing all damn day with no problem, because I like boxing. I grew up with boxing, so it's nothing unusual for me. You know, I like the fact that I could not stand somebody and going to beat their ass. I mean, I think that everything should be sold with a pair of boxing gloves. I'm serious. Because there's some motherfuckers out there who I would love to get into the ring with. Kid you not.
So, okay, sign this waiver. You can't sue me. I can't sue you. Just fucking duke it out. You know what I'm saying? Boom. You know, no charges, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just shut the fuck up and fight. That's how it should be anyway. Fuck all that shit.
But you know what? That's how boxing really was popular. If you remember back in the 70s and 80s, the reason why it was popular, because that's how they were selling a lot of stuff. And to get these kids off of the streets who were in gangs, because for anybody think gangs just came along, they didn't come along. They've been around forever. But a big way to get these kids off of the streets, especially the inner city kids, was to get them into things that will let out their frustrations in a positive way.
Yes.
And boxing was one of the most positive ways. And you get these two boys or these two girls in there. You give them boxing gloves. You give them the headgear. And you get them in there. And you box it out, and guess what? It became where your friends coming, and it's like, wasn't nobody trying to fight outside the ring, because they was like, I'll show you, I'll beat your ass, you know? And that's how you got it. And then remember, kids weren't fat back then either, because they had activities. Because if they wasn't boxing, then they wanted to do some whip boxing, so they were staying in shape more. But then they also had physical education in school from first grade all the way up through 12th grade. Okay. I think my last physical education class was my freshman or sophomore year of high school because it was required. It was not an option.
Yeah.
And then in college. But then, see, I don't know what colleges are requiring now because when I went to college, and for those of y'all who say, damn, is VU old? Yeah, I might be old, but I didn't start actively going to college until the early 90s. And physical education was required within your 4 years of college. You had to take something in physical education, be it bowling or something. So for any, I don't know, I'm pretty sure all the schools required it, but if they're not requiring it, they should, because it's something that, it didn't bother me, you know. People was complaining, I got to take a physical education class. What the fuck I need that for? I was looking at them like, shit, your roly-poly ass need to take a few, you know, fuck taking class. You need to be up in the damn gym on a regular basis.
Yeah, I love all that shit. I don't mind, like, if it wasn't so expensive, because now, like, going to bowling is, like, expensive as fuck. Like, it's not as cheap as it used to be. It's like, you got to pay.
Unless you get, like, the three, you could get, like, well, I don't know if they got it like that there, but, like, we could go bowling for, we get the special.
Miniature golf.
Because, like, 3 hours. I've never done, I can't get into golf.
Miniature golf is fun.
I love bowling.
Because at least there's obstacles and shit in the way. It makes it interesting. You know, just like a real, it's like real golf. Okay, here's the ball. The other shit's all the way over there. You know, I'd rather play the video game Tiger Woods golf than that shit. Or Mario golf from Nintendo.
But no, it's just so much more fun. So, you know,
yeah. It's
just different activities out there. You know, like I said, I love boxing. So for anybody who said, why do I love boxing? That is why I just grew up with it. And I think that's why when I see some of these people boxing on HBO and Showtime, and a lot of people, because despite what the entire country thinks, a lot of people don't have cable. And if they do have cable, some people have, you know, they've got all these different services. Used to be if you had cable, you had cable. If you didn't, you didn't. Now you got the basic cable, the middle cable, the premium cable, the fucking Lexus cable, the Bentley cable. You know,
yes,
you got.
That's the thing. But that's the thing. Back in the day, and see, this is when I was really into boxing. Saturday nights were the shit. Okay, Saturday nights were the shit. And I would stay up late, you know, because I didn't have to go to school, so it didn't matter. I would be my uncle and my father in this house, and we watched it. And it was great. Like, it was fun. You know, it was, you know, it didn't matter. Heavyweight, middleweight, it was great. And you had great, you know, characters, you know, people, you know, that understand boxing. And the thing, this is the thing I always wanted to ask you, by the way, because I forgot to ask you this last week. This guy on HBO, you know, the guy they never show on TV, they always ask his card score every time. You know, this guy, Harold Lenderman.
Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Lampley, whatever his name is. I always wondered, how come they never showed this guy on TV? Is there a reason why they don't
show him?
They do?
I never see
this guy. All these fucking years, I never seen him.
You know what? Because you have to, like, watch it all the way through. What it is because they have some
Witness Protection Program or some shit.
No. He actually took over for, who is the guy who just retired?
Oh,
is it him?
You wouldn't know.
I got to remember. It's one of the boxing, well, he's not just a boxing analyst, but he had been with HBO for 30 years, and he retired.
Oh, Larry something?
Right.
You know what I'm
about? I can't remember, but he retired, like, right after Emmanuel
Sterling passed away. He was always interview the fighters after the fight in the ring, you're talking about, right?
Yep. But he also had the scorecard.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and
he was
this
around
guy has
100
taken
billion.
His place.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah, I forgot. He doesn't have a hard name. I thought it was Larry something or some shit. Yeah, but I know he's talking.
I had to look
about
it up. But
like, I know the face. But it's just the name. I know the face.
Yeah.
Bob. You know what I'm saying? If I could draw you right now and send it to you.
But the guy that you're talking about now, who they don't show his face, actually do show his face because
he's been
around
forever.
He used to be there with Roy Jones.
But I'm saying.
He took over for the guy that they didn't see. Because remember, the guy who retired, he used to do the scorecard.
Okay.
He used to do the scorecard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've changed the name on the scorecard now. If you think about it, because the guy who retired was the one who always had that unofficial scorecard.
Yeah, I know. That's not official. Exactly. That's the big thing. It's not an official scorecard. It's unofficial. It's what this guy thinks, who he sees winning. Exactly.
And he's
that's
normally
true.
Right.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking good.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy used to sit with Roy Jones and them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put somebody. HBO been lacking in their boxing lately, so I haven't been able to figure out who they put with Roy Jones now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it is, because, you know, Max Kellerman. I think Max Kellerman is now permanently with Roy Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's Roy Jones.
Because, you know, Max Kellerman. Yeah, but, you know, Max Kellerman is also on, is he on ESPN or something else? He's got, like, five fucking shows aside from being on HBO. But I know Max Kellerman is with Roy Jones because Max Kellerman used to be the ring announcer for HBO, and he's moved from ring announcer down there next to Roy Jones, so this other guy can do the unofficial scorecard. So, yeah. For everybody's like, what the hell are they talking about? Real boxing. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about boxing. I just find it funny that every time they go to him, and he always seems out of breath, this guy, this Harold Lindemann. So when you got this score, yeah, I got the 10-8. You know, this guy, you know, he won this round, but the next round we'll see what happens. But I got 108-104. We'll see what happens.
He got his voice down. Oh,
but
my God, he got his voice down pat.
But you know what?
But like, have you noticed with Showtime that it seems like they bring everybody? Showtime is really, I guess their name fits them because whenever Showtime has a boxing match, do they have enough fucking announcers doing their fights? You've got the ones that are broadcasting for Showtime in English, then you got the Hispanic ones broadcasting that they pan to so many fucking people. HBO does not pan.
No.
I've never seen HBO pan to other broadcasters at their fights. I'm not saying that those broadcasters are not there, but I swear the whole damn ring must be surrounded by damn broadcasters.
No shit. That's
because
right. Eight motherfuckers, it seems like.
Broadcasters at Showtime, you know, and Showtime is all about the show.
Yeah. Well,
because, you know what else I realized? If you listen to their fight, you know, since I got Showtime for a little while free, I've been noticing when they do the announcement for their fight, when they do the announcement for the fights, it's Showtime.
Yeah, it's Showtime. The Lennon guy. It's Showtime.
Because they can't say, let's get ready to rumble. That's only on
HBO.
Homeboy.
I still think that's better.
Yeah.
Get ready to rumble is better.
I love the let's get ready. But you know what? He's also got that trademark. But you know who else is allowed to do it? You know who sounds like him? Have you seen the dreadlock guy? This guy he makes. Now, he says it's get ready to rumble, and he sounds just like him.
Really?
If you ever close your eyes and listen, first of all, I'm going to sound precious when I say this, but fucking white boy with dreadlocks down his back, but when he opened his mouth, you're like, oh, my God. You think you're listening to the upside. You know,
I got a question, but how he don't get sued? He's allowed to do that for some reason? How he don't get sued? I guess it's a trademark.
Apparently, he's contracted to do it. I know he has a trademark because he's been doing that for eons.
At least $1 million each time he does it. At least.
But this other guy also does it, but I think because they might work for the same company, even though it's his trademark.
Okay.
I'm just
trying to understand, like, how, you know, that's his thing.
He probably
you know?
Has permission to do it. Well, you know, it's just like how the NBA has the stuff out there to different sports teams. You might allow somebody else to use it. It's copyright. It's like with Disney stuff. Disney produces one thing, but it's copyrighted. But you got people who are also allowed to use that trademark, like Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty is the one trademark, and this was actually on the news. This is how I learned this. Hello Kitty is that Asian cartoon.
Yeah.
Don't say shit.
Yeah.
But anybody who knows Kimora Lee Sims, she has a Hello Kitty line because she is allowed to use it. And they actually are going to quit allowing their trademark to be used, and they're going to start opening up their own stores. And they're saying that's a bad business move because for they've made their money off of allowing their trademark to be used for all these years in these different companies. Because I've got some Hello Kitty slippers, so you know. But they're allowed. I mean, they have made all their money, or 99% of their money, off of allowing that trademark where they haven't held on to it. They've given the licensing. That's why was the word I was looking for, their licensing.
Licensing. Yeah.
So this other guy might have a license to do this, you know, and he's paying him to do it, you know. Like I said, I know he's got a trademark, so.
Wow. Mm.
Because, and the reason why I know, look at the Progressive commercial, because.
Yeah, he was in that.
Remember
Oh, boy.
The announcer, he says.
Let's get ready to bundle.
Instead of saying, let's get ready to run. Yeah, let's get ready to bundle.
Yeah. I think my spleen is bleeding.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier. It's like, I'm going to kill that bitch and press that fucking button.
They can't do that on TV.
My world would be so much fun. I'm telling you, it would be so much fun. I would allow that. It would be so much fun.
Yeah, if you have to see the dreadlock guy because he does it.
But does he do it just for NBC Sports, or like it doesn't matter?
I can't. You know what? I think I've seen him on HBO doing it.
Really?
I know.
You might be right.
Yeah, because the dreadlock guy announces for HBO also.
So far I haven't seen him since like you've been introducing me back to boxing. I haven't noticed him. So unless
you haven't noticed the dreadlock guy?
I guess I haven't been paying no mind.
You know what? But he hasn't been on in a minute. But I know the dreadlock guy is out there.
Okay.
And I was
like, I only see Homeboy, Let's Get Ready to Rumble, and the Lennon dude for Showtime. That's it.
Showtime.
So those two ring announcers I've noticed. We've been there around for years combined.
You know what is bad? I'm calling him Dreadlock Guy, but when he has
We gotta find out what his real name is.
I don't call him Dreadlock Boy.
White boy. Well, let's go Google white boy with dreadlocks that does ring announcing for boxing.
Ring announcer.
White ring announcers with dreads. It'd be funny if Google just goes back. What the fuck are you talking about?
Anybody got an iPhone? I don't have one. I don't like iPhone.
Series? What the fuck the name is?
Siri. White boy with dreadlocks as ring announcer. Can you please rephrase that question?
I do not understand what you're trying to say. Did you say white boy working for feds? No, I said white boy wearing dreads. Sorry, please try again. You just want to throw it. Thank God I don't have an iPhone, but those automated systems, you just want to fucking kill somebody. And you know you say shit loud and clear. You know what I'm saying? You say shit nice and clear. Oh, did you mean this? No, I did not. Yo, and I'd be yelling at this shit, too. I will be, too.
That's exactly why I don't have a... For one, let's get something clear. I'm not an Apple fan.
Me either.
I wasn't an Apple fan when they were fucking Macintosh, okay? So all these folks think Apple is new. No, Apple used to be fucking Macintosh.
For a long time.
They were fucking Macintoshes.
They were around since late 70s, early 80s, some shit like that.
Yeah, because my uncle bought the first computer, bought a Macintosh, you know, and I realized then I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Macs, whatever you want to call them, have been always expensive. They have never been comparable to the other PCs. You know, which now they really are losing some of their glamour because, you know, they came out and said that they can get viruses also, where for the longest you got a Mac because they were harder to get viruses.
Yeah.
Now they're on the list. They could get viruses now.
Yeah. These hackers don't
they
play.
Still are
they find a way, you know.
But they are a better computer. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not a better computer because the lifespan – you don't have to replace Macs as often as you have to replace PCs.
No, that's true.
You know,
and
because
I feel,
they automatically update.
Yeah, and also I think from my experience, from when I went to broadcasting school and I used Max for editing, for video editing, is definitely good for editing. Digital editing is hands down.
That's basically what they're good for. Anybody
who
is into graphic design.
That's it. To me, that's it. That's their strength.
Their key point and their strength is their graphic design.
Exactly.
Availability. Because
I feel the same way.
Look at the different, when you look at your processing programs, which is what we use on a daily basis when you're talking about your Word, PowerPoint, and all that, you actually have to get a program that's compatible. And for anybody who doesn't know, if you own a PC and you send a Word document to a person who has a Mac, if they don't have that converter on their computer, they can't look at it. And that's why a lot of people are actually switching over to Google Docs, you know, which I'm learning how to do Google Docs now. But I'm a Word girl. I mean, I use Outlook for my email. I'm just that girl. I'm going to be a PC. I don't think I'll ever marry. I don't own a iPhone. I don't own an iPad. I don't own an iPod.
No,
I don't own any of that shit. That's why I don't use iTunes.
Exactly. And I don't care that I use Apple.
I have Skype. I like Skype.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
And for anybody who says, what am I have my Skype, and then I have my, I do own a Google, I own a Google Nexus, and I,
That's cool.
And I have the, what is it called, Lord, and I own it. The Google laptop.
Oh, yeah.
I own that.
Man.
The Google Chrome. I own a Chromebook. So,
man.
I mean, I am tech savvy. And the Chromebook actually updates itself also. So that's the
another thing
because the Chromebook is actually competitor for Apple. Because they automatically update themselves. You don't have to worry about, like, if I cut my Chromebook on, it'll go through its updates because its system automatically updates. There is no storage capacity on
it. Exactly, yeah.
There are updates from the Google system. So, yeah, I got one of them, too. But what I don't like about my Chromebook is that I just can't. I'm a PC. I'm just a PC person. My Chromebook I like for playing my games and stuff.
Yeah.
But
By the way, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Ask Ms. V Electronics, and you can call us with electronics, computers, games and shit, and including sports. We have a few minutes left, but you can call us 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. We talk about sports, really the basics, and sometimes computers. And what the fuck we talk about? We talk about
Rod
anything.
Rod Sterling. He is going to be, he's going to dominate the summer, I can tell.
Yeah, well. New owner,
that
by the way.
Strange.
Going to be a new guy that bought the Clippers for like $2 billion.
That's not official yet.
Not official yet, but a guy that used to
it's
run
still
Microsoft.
Rumor.
Yeah.
Okay, that's still rumor because that's been put out there, but if you're watching
the process,
if you're watching everything in the whole scheme of this soap opera that's playing out in our former, this is better than reality TV. This is reality life.
Yeah, that's really
Rod Sterling, whatever the hell his name is.
By the way. Let me ask you.
He.
Go ahead. Real good. Go ahead.
He has said he's going to fight to the fucking bitter end, but yet and still, bitch wife who one minute is fucking him, not fucking him, not estranged, is putting it up for sale. Over the weekend, he gave her permission to sell it, but now he's saying he didn't.
Yeah.
She's in talks with people to sell it. So I figured this is a whole damn Sega. So you know what? I don't know what I think all of it right now is just a whole bunch of fucking publicity because one person is fucking somebody. He says they were fucking. She says they never fucked. He's paying off mistresses. He's paying off the feds. The husband and wife are together, but they're not together, but they have a history of suing people or fucking with lawsuits.
Yeah,
they've even sued their coaches. You know, so when you look at it, I think this is just, I want to go get me a big thing of low-fat popcorn and just sit back and watch because every other day something new comes out. I mean, I'm still pissed about what he said, but it's gone from me being pissed about what he said to just watching this shit play out because it's becoming hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's becoming it went from disgusting comments to now it's like, okay, this guy is just fucking out of his mind. He's definitely racist slash dementia. You know, it's combined to me. This guy's just out of his fucking mind. He just is. You know, he's 81 years old, whatever the fuck he is. The guy is going to have billions of dollars. So the guy is in a win-win situation. So why he gives a fuck? You understand? He's good.
Well,
he's going to be good.
Speaking of people being in their 80s, anybody who saw my tweet yesterday, I have to say this. Rest in peace to Dr. Maya Angelou, you know, one of
I want to hear your thoughts.
Best poets.
You know.
Maya?
Yeah.
You know, I can say that I, you know what? I learned a lot. I never got a chance to meet her, but one of my classes, I had to do African-American studies when I was in college. And taking that class, I did not choose her, but we had to do All-American authors. And I really wasn't into spoken word back then, but I had heard about I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, so I really hadn't gotten into it. But we had to perform our whatever author we chose, we had to choose something from that author and perform it in front of the class. My African-American lit teacher, she wasn't no joke. She didn't care if you couldn't act. You was gonna show that you had read whatever you said you read. It wasn't going to be no cheating off no damn paper. You was going to recite it. So,
wow.
one of the young ladies in my class, because for those of y'all who know, I went to college in my mid-20s. I didn't go right out of high school. But one of the young ladies that was in my class, she did Phenomenal Woman. And I actually had bought that T-shirt years ago because I just loved the poem, and I was like, oh, my God, this is like my strength.
You know what's
and
funny? You bring that up. I don't mean to interrupt, but my lady talked about that yesterday, said that poem is fucking, no pun intended, phenomenal. Because she talks about that.
It is.
Yeah. It's funny that you bring that up. Is the same thing?
Phenomenally a phenomenal woman. It's just one of those poems that touches you. But I learned to love her even more. And I have followed her through the years, and something funny happened. And for all you guys who are one of those people who took advantage of this, fucking shame on you. When I heard she passed, I happened to be near a computer, and she had two cookbooks that she put out.
Okay.
I went on Amazon, ordered both cookbooks. One cookbook was used, 20 cents, but shipping was like $1.99. And the other cookbook was like $3.99, 20 cents. But let me finish.
Okay.
Ironically, my book that was 20 cents yesterday, the order was canceled.
What?
And all the books that were 20, any book that was under $2 yesterday, some of her books went up to $200 by today.
They knew it.
I was able to get both of my books. I ended up going to Barnes & Noble to get the other book. The book that was 20 cents, I ended up getting at Barnes & Noble for $1.99 and ordered it. But my other Amazon book, which was $3.99, which I still thought was a good price. But this is just how people are profiting off of this woman's passing.
Yeah,
in less than 24 hours, a book that was 20 cents with $1.99 shipping went up to $5, $6, and those were the cheap ones. I saw her books on Amazon for as high as $500 today.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
And that is the one thing that I do not agree with. I mean, I know people pass, and I mean, I love Dr. Angelou, but for you to something that you really were selling for little or nothing and turning into not just a profit, but a tremendous profit because she passed, because people want her work, I think it's horrible. Because I don't remember them doing that when Octavia Butler passed. And a lot of people probably don't know Octavia Butler like I know her. But because I'm into a lot of African-American lit, I know a lot of the different authors from their work. And I'm hoping that those people who tried to take it, those people who took advantage of it, I'm asking anybody, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but I'm asking anybody who went to go purchase any of her books yesterday when you found out she passed and your orders were canceled and you looked and those prices had jumped, to wait, don't buy those books, because these people who are selling these books, they're doing it strictly out of greed. They're not doing it out of true
love,
truly trying to get rid of them, and true love.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I went on and I got them. I still got lucky. I got both books for $15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but still, a book that was 20 cents, it turned around. The minimum price was $5 or $6, which isn't bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about it being $5 or $6. I'm complaining that books were less than a dollar, and because she passed, jumped tremendously in price.
I don't understand,
you know,
how.
But definitely.
Yeah, it's like, wow. How you make an order? How can they cancel it? You know what I mean? That's kind
of. They told me it was out of stock. I got an email telling me it was out of stock. My other book is still being filled on Amazon, but, you know, it just made me kind of lose faith in Amazon when they, you know, I know they don't control their vendors, just like eBay doesn't control their vendors, but I think it should be some type of integrity, and I think maybe somebody at Amazon should have monitored how those prices changed overnight. And probably within hours. I'm not going to say overnight, because I ordered the book yesterday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got an email telling me this morning that it was out of stock.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know. But I did check to see if that vendor had not. The one thing I checked was I checked to see if that vendor had relisted the book at a different price.
Mm.
And as I was going through, I couldn't see if that vendor had done it, because I was going to complain that, you know, no, for this, I couldn't get it for this price, but they turned around and changed it to this price. So I'm hoping that I was with just with a reputable vendor that truly did maybe only have a few in stock, and I just got my order in too late. But to see that all of the books that were under $3 were no longer available today kind of shocked me. I don't think, and I'm not saying people won't read, but I just can't see that many damn people all of a sudden.
Yeah. They got to really, you know, read and really sit down and take the time to really look into it. It's more of like, oh, I got, you know, a memo, you know, what she wrote and shit, and just, you know, for memorabilia, you know, instead of like really using them for what it's for, you know.
Well, like I said, her cookbooks, I had heard about them years ago, and the one cookbook was because she... The one cookbook that I did get, which I did get at a really good price, and this is for anybody who's into weight loss, because everybody knows right now I'm having a struggle with my weight.
Mm-hmm.
One of her cookbooks, and I can't remember the name of it, but she wrote two, and she's only written two cookbooks. But the last one was for weight loss. And what I liked is she said about how she did her weight loss, because she didn't write this book until she was 80. So we're not talking about somebody being out there, an athlete writing a cookbook for weight loss. She wrote this cookbook, and she talked about portion control. She said she didn't count calories. She didn't say don't cook with butter or lard or any of that. She said she did her portions, and she ate more meals. And to see, you know, because we hear, you're going to eat this many calories, you're going to eat this. And to see an 80-year-old woman who said, now she documented, she lost 35 pounds. Remember, 80 years old. So we're not talking a person go out there running a damn marathon.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about somebody who really was just normal activities. She said she just ate more, and I said, I'm going to actually go over her recipes, because when she said she got real food, ain't nothing like being on a diet with real food.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she just ate more meals throughout the day. And, I mean, she had stuff like, I mean, just from what I saw, pork tacos. I mean, she had real, you know,
she had a crown pork tacos.
Mm. Yes. Full pork tacos. That's what I'm saying, real food.
Mm.
And she, a crown of pork chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all know I love food. But I'm just saying, real food versus, you know, you can only eat a square of this, you know. And
like
I said, one of the statements she said was that she did not go with counting calories. She still cooked with lard. She still cooked with butter. She still, all them things they said we shouldn't cook with, she said she still cooked with. She just did her portions different.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I got to look. I, that's what made me get it, because, you know,
like
I'm struggling with my weight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm struggling with my weight. So I bought the book because when I saw that if you 80 and you can lose 35 pounds and you ain't in some hospital sick,
mm-hmm.
and you cooking,
she's doing something right.
That's who I'm listening to.
Exactly. Fuck that
not
doctor.
Not saying that other folks don't know what they're talking about, but I'm going to listen to the 80-year-old woman
mm-hmm.
who lost 35 pounds.
And on top of that, got credibility.
By cooking at home.
You know?
Yes. Very much credible.
You know what I
you
mean?
Know what? I think that might be why Oprah is the way she is, because I think Oprah was following Maya's diet and didn't tell nobody.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, Oprah isn't big and Oprah isn't small, but she's healthy. I mean,
yeah.
I think Oprah looked good. I want to look like that when I'm 60. Shit.
Yeah, compared to what she used to look like when she was younger. Yeah.
Yeah, she looks good.
Mm-hmm.
She's not skinny. She's not fat. She's healthy. I mean, she's got a waistline and boobies. You know?
She looks like her frame, you know? She don't look
she's
weird.
Got all the she's got all her curves in the right place.
She's not looking like Star Jones, like a lollipop head when she got that band in her stomach, you know?
No, you know, she looks very good, you know?
You
so
know?
I think she was following, you know, that was her mentor, so.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was following her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know y'all said, how the hell we go from sports to computers
to fucking
Dr. Angelou. But, you know what, I wanted to give the tribute. She passed away. And I think it's only right that we respect those, you know, I don't care what color a person is or who they are. If they've done something very, very notable, I mean, you have to look at it. This woman.
Society, you know.
Society. But she did the thing for President Clinton. She wrote that poem for President Clinton.
Wow.
And remember, she spoke it.
Yeah.
You know, which for anybody, those of y'all who don't know about Clinton, that's one of my favorite presidents. Don't get me wrong, I love Barack. I love President Obama.
Remember, he's the first official black president we ever had.
Black president. You know, I got to go there. But just so to give people some insight, because President Clinton is why I really got into Walter Mosley. And Walter Mosley is a African-American author who writes mystery. And that's one of my favorite authors. But he made that statement that was one of his favorite authors. I have a lot. I'm going to toot my own horn. I have a lot in common with the Clintons. I don't know the Clintons, so let's get that clear. I don't know who they are, but I have a lot in common with their family-wise. Because Chelsea went to French school, the same school that the Obama girls go to.
My children
went to French school here in Detroit.
Okay.
There are only 15 or 16 French schools throughout the entire country, and they're all affiliated. For those people who don't know what a French school is, the Quakers are friends. That's the Society of Quakers are friends. And all their schools are called friends. So if you hear a school called French school, they're all affiliated. They're all independent schools, but they all have one thing in common, that somehow they're affiliated with a Quaker community. And they have Quaker values. They don't believe in violence. Everything is taught nonviolence reasoning and everything. And it's just a very, very nice school. And all their classes are extremely small. When my son and daughter went to French school here, my son's 8th grade graduating class was 17 students. And when my daughter came out in 8th grade, the entire class was 16 or 17 students. I mean, they believe in truly small class sizes, one-on-ones. They believe in, they didn't do Mr. and Miss. All the teachers were called by their first name, which I had to get so used to because I raised my children. Mr. and no. From the headmaster on down, they don't have principals. They have headmasters. And they're a community.
Okay.
So, yeah. But with my children going to a friend school, Chelsea Clinton went to a friend school. President Clinton loves, you know, Walter Mosley, that's one of his favorite authors. That's one of my favorite authors. You know, so there's a lot that, you know, he really is the first black president. I mean, how many, listen, you ain't hearing about nobody else getting their dick sucked in the Oval Office. only a brother would do that shit. You know, wait a minute. Only a brother would do that. One me. Think about it.
Well, me.
That is the famous line.
I did not have sex relations with that woman. I remember that exact quote to this day.
What are you going to believe? Your eyes or what I say?
Yeah. It's like a pimp.
I did not do it.
He was good.
I'm on the bet he hanging, too. You know, I'm on the bet he hanging because, listen, only a brother could do that and get away with it and keep his job And you know what? Hillary, an undercover sister, because you know what? She stuck by her man.
Yes, she did. She did.
They still not divorced.
No, out of all these years.
That tell you. She probably beat the shit out of him, though.
Closed doors.
Oh, yeah, he paid for it.
Oh, yeah. No
he
doubt.
Paid for it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, only see y'all, hear the conversations y'all hear when we go through ours. But, yeah, that's the little that we do. I have things in common. I mean, the Clintons will probably never know who the hell I am.
Yeah.
And I will probably, well, let's rephrase it. They will never know me personally, and I will never know them personally.
Yeah, that's reality. Yeah.
You know, that's my reality, but I do have things in common with them, and my children are proud to say that. I mean, that's the one thing. While they were going to friend school, Chelsea Clinton made a statement, and they actually have the article up at Google in Detroit here where she mentioned the friend school in Detroit. And I tell everybody, it's a proud, you know, because everybody, unlike other private schools, this is about that privacy. That's why it's so easy for the Clinton girls to live a normal life, because when you go to a friend school, you're not going to have that invasion of privacy like you would have at other schools.
Mm.
It's just not going to be allowed. It's
okay.
Not going to be allowed. It has nothing to do with them being the president's daughters. The schools, I mean, you have all different economical backgrounds. What I love about the friend schools, and I'm not going to talk too much about them because we always go over and we've gone over, but what I do love about the friend schools is that economic status has nothing to do with your learning. That's all out the door at
mm-hmm.
these schools.
That's good.
So you're on the same level with everybody else when you're in school. The tuition is still the same for everybody. Let's get that clear. But as far as, you know, some child looking down another one, I have a Louis Vuitton bag or I have a pair of red bottoms. That's not going to happen. That doesn't happen. You leave that at the front door of the school. That doesn't come into the school. You know, my daddy is the leader of the free world. That's not going to happen, you know. Them girls not going to be able to do that. So,
yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things that I like that they humble themselves because, you know, it's not about humbling themselves, but to really teach people to learn how people are.
Mm.
And my son and daughter went to school with a few judges. I mean, here, you're attorneys, their children went to the school, and with it being such a small school, and you just don't go there. You have to test to get in.
Okay.
You know, they start out early. You got to test. And you could be kicked off. Your parents ain't right. So
wow, really?
You could be a good child. And if you got a messed up parent,
wow, that's
you won't be invited back. So
yeah.
Parents
wow.
got to be on point. You know, so it's fun, though, to kind of respect both sides of it because you could be a fabulous child, but if you got a fucked up parent and they do some crazy stuff, you might not be invited back to school next year.
Wow. That's messed up for the kid. That's doing right.
Hey, but money can't buy that. The great thing is money can't buy you in. You know, that's
gotcha.
One thing.
That's what you're saying. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Money doesn't buy your way through this. You got to really earn it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my thing on that. So, but yes, Dr. Angelou, you know, we truly miss you. And there is no one like her. I mean, I will say honestly, you know, in this generation, we don't have anyone. We don't have anyone right now, you know, that does spoken word, you know, that is really out there. I mean, we do have Saul Williams, who is a male, but nobody is on her level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one is on her level, you know, and I say that honestly and truly. And she was a role model for men and women. You know, it wasn't one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
She showed that you can have struggles and things happen to you in life and you can continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to admire a person who did that. And I think I was reading her bio and she spoke like 5 or 6 different languages.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And all she had was a high school diploma. She preferred, now get this, she never went to college.
Amazing.
But she preferred to be called Dr. Angelou. Because she has so many honorary degrees, and she actually taught at Wake Forest University.
Mm.
She was an emeritus there. So she earned her right, you know. And the last time I saw her in film, and a lot of people might not think about this, but she was in a couple of Tyler Perry films.
Yes, exactly.
If anybody noticed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She, the one with the wedding, Madea's family reunion.
Yeah.
She did the poem at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, was also there with Cicely Tyson. And she was...
Yeah, that one, yeah.
What was the other one she was...
I forgot, but I know she definitely was involved with some Todd Perry movies. And that's a perfect example about men and women, because Todd Perry's a man, and he loved Maya Angelou. Well, there you go.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman she was in.
Yeah.
So that right there, you know, she was in Tyler Perry movies. This woman was the all-around woman. She could sing. I didn't know she had put out an album.
Really?
She could sing.
Mm.
She was an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in Ghana. I mean, this woman, and this was all before she became famous.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
So this woman was truly a phenomenal woman. And she's
mm-hmm.
going to be missed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that her work will inspire someone in this generation or another generation to do something. You know, I would love to see some young woman who is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Go read what she did. Go read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings and really take that to a new level. Because, you know, that book is banned in a lot of schools, I found out.
Really?
It's banned because of the language that she uses. Because she's straight from the heart. So, we miss you. I tweeted my tweet yesterday, and
mm-hmm.
along with the 5 billion other people who tweeted.
Yeah.
That, truly, now I got to go find my Phenomenal Woman t-shirt. I think I got rid of it, but, I mean... It wasn't like she assigned. No, I mean, it gets too small. I mean, it was just a poem on there. It was her poem on there. It wasn't anything she assigned.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, not saying that, but, you know, I could always go find another one because Phenomenal Woman t-shirts are always going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this about 10 or 20 years ago.
Wow.
So yeah. See, me and your girlfriend do have something in common. Phenomenally a phenomenal woman. I mean,
yeah. I think everyone probably would say that one would be their favorite. I would think that, you know, that's like the first thing everybody would say. Everyone would say anyway.
Well, you know what? But you got to understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it and understanding it is two different things.
It's
just like the movie for colored girls who have committed suicide when the rainbow is enough, which is the full title, even though they called it For Colored Girls, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have the book. I've read it. It's actually a book of poems,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people don't know. That's why they had the girl in yellow, the girl in black, and all this. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I've read it, and it's actually a play that's been traveling. I don't know if the play still travels around, but before they made it a movie, the play was only performed on college campuses. And that's another fabulous author, you know, that people don't talk about. We have a lot of great authors out there. And there's a lot, and for anybody who says, she's talking about all black people, no, there are a lot of great Hispanic authors out there also, because when I did my African-American studies, we got a chance to look at other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just haven't had nobody touch me. I mean, I'm sure if somebody gives me a book that will catch my interest, you know, I will read it. So if anybody want to send me a good book, I like mysteries. I like mysteries and... good spoken words. So if anybody want to send me one and introduce me to some other authors, I'll even take Caucasian authors, but if you want to, you know, send me some authors from different cultures,
mm-hmm.
I would be more than welcome to read them. I mean, I love books.
Okay.
Like I said, I love mystery. I love mystery and I love science fiction, so I think that's why I'm so into Walter Mosley and Octavia Butler. And for those of y'all who say, why don't I like Terry McMillan? I do like Terry McMillan. I'll read her books. I've seen her movies. But, you know, I can only man bash so much. Terry, if you're listening, I'm just being honest. You know? I can only man bash so much.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
You know, I have quite a few Terry McMillan books, and I could only, you know, I can only, you know, I've read Waiting to Exhale off Wade, How Stella Got Her Groove Back. You know, these are books I've read. I've read her other book. They're getting ready to make a movie out of it. And I read that one. But it's like a day later, dollar short or something. It's but I think Terry McMillan, somebody didn't fuck her writer, just fucked her wrong. Because,
one of the other writers.
Yeah, because her books to me are male bashing. And
yeah,
I
well,
love Terry McMillan. I think she's a fabulous author. But
yeah,
her sister also is a great author. Now, a lot of people don't know. Rosalind McMillan is Terry McMillan's sister, and she's a great author also, and I read her books. So for anybody who said, yes, I do read books. I even like Elin Harris. I just, you know, I can't always get the name. But if y'all want to know who my favorite author is, guess who my favorite author is?
Well,
Zane.
Who is it?
Zane.
Oh,
Zane.
Okay. Zane.
Z-A-N-E. Straight up sex.
Oh, okay.
All her books are sex. She is one of the most erotic writers out there.
Ah.
And I love Zane. You know, so they say who my favorite author is for my favorite erotic author is Zane. My favorite mystery author.
Uh-huh.
I actually like, I'm not a Stephen King fan.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I'm not a fan, but he get kind of scary. But who's the one who wrote Children of the Corn? I like him.
Because that's
I like,
one that wasn't Stephen King. I thought that was Stephen King too.
Stephen King did Children of the Corn.
Yeah,
it's another book I'm thinking. But I've got a few authors. I mean, when I was The Children in the Attic, that's what I'm thinking about. Children in the Attic.
Okay.
I read that series. I mean, there's like 5 or 6 books to go with that. I didn't realize it. I thought it was just the one book they did the movie out of, but it's like 5 or 6 books that go with that Children in the Attic series. And I like that author. And the Doc Cook, he does all the doctor mysteries.
Okay.
I like him. So anybody want to know, I do love my books. You know, this transition in July is going to allow me to read my books more. And I don't like Nook. For anybody who say I'm not a Nook reader, so don't tell me to go get something on Nook. I can't read it. But, like, I like sex books. Anybody who knows Michael Basden, I could deal with him as long as he's not talking out the side of his neck. Elin Harris I like. Toni Morrison, I do love Toni Morrison. I've got my books out there, you know. I've got my authors. There is actually, from my alma mater, and she's going to kill me, but she's an English professor at Eastern, and she wrote a fabulous book that I liked. So when I say I like books, anybody want to send me a good book? Inbox us. But we're going to get off because we go all over the place, but we still do good, you know.
Yeah, we
just
still
try to make up for that.
By the way, I want to bring up something that I don't know if you probably know about this.
Oh, tomorrow.
What about tomorrow?
Your show.
Yes.
Live.
I thought you were talking about for yourself. I said, what are you doing tomorrow? me. Of course, but anybody who's listening after hearing everything we've covered from sports to computers to Maya Angelou to authors, we cover it all, ladies and gentlemen. I do a show called The Benchwoman's Live Show, which comes on every Friday, including tomorrow, 2 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, with Ms. V's homegirl, Sammy Brooks, who is cool as hell. She's my co-host. We're going to have fun tomorrow. We're actually going to have a guest tomorrow. What's this guy's name? I know he's another indie artist. Steve real quick. Yeah, he's actually... I don't know if it's hip-hop or what the fuck it is. I have to listen to his music, to be honest with you. I didn't get a chance to... No, I'm being honest. His stage name is Jung Phil. I hope I'm saying his name right. And he's actually in the US. We're going to interview him at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And let's see. And we'll be talking about what's been going on with Mark Cuban and his dumb ass saying other shit. And... A lot of other stuff.
I'm not mad at Mark Cuban. You know what?
I'm not mad at Mark Cuban.
You know what, Mark... Because Mark Cuban, since you brought him up, anybody who's mad at Mark Cuban got some issues. And the reason why I say they got issues is because when you listen to what Mark Cuban said, he didn't say anything racist. He said what 99% of us think. Because he didn't sit here and single out a race what he did. The only thing that he apologized for, which In all actuality, there was no need for him to apologize because he really was not referring to Trayvon Martin.
But I
do respect that he went to the family and said, I'm sorry to bring this up, you know, because everybody kept saying he was relating to Trayvon Martin. He really was not thinking about Trayvon Martin at all because, in all actuality, the hoodie has nothing to do with Trayvon Martin. It has to do with these criminals out here. Let's call it the way it is.
Period.
Most of the time, when these criminals walk into stores,
what they do,
and they got a hoodie over their head,
they're
getting ready to commit a crime.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, like I said, I do respect that he went and apologized to their family, even though his family.
Yeah, no one told him to do that either. He said, I wanted to do that. No one told me to do that, you know.
His comment came from, and he's right, if I see a white dude with a bunch of damn tats and a skinhead and a biker jacket on, now, unlike him, I am going to look at the back of it because there are some Christian bikers. But but if they look kind of rough, I'm sorry, I'm going the opposite way. I'm like him. If I see the, you know what, if I see the white dudes with their pants hanging below their ass, I cross, you know, I'm like him. I'm going to cross the street. If I see black people that don't look the right way or with hoods over their heads or not looking right, I'm walking the opposite side or walking the other way. So people were getting mad at him, but what he was saying truly is the reality of this world, and it has nothing to do with color. It has to do with,
you know, looking suspicious. You know, looking suspicious, basically.
You know, like I said, I'll be honest, I do it. When I cross, you know, if I'm walking down the street, which I try not to walk down streets too often, I don't leave my house after it gets dark. I'm being honest, I don't, you know, I just don't do certain things after dark because of carjackings. I always make sure I have gas in my car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I will run out of fucking gas before I go to a gas station when it's dark. I don't care how secure they say they are. I just won't, you know.
Wow.
I won't, and then shit, depending on what time of day it is, I won't go to certain gas stations. I'm very, very cautious of going to gas stations. So unless it's well lit in there, a bunch of cars around, I won't go to a gas station normally. I try to make sure that it's always the middle of the day or in a high traffic area.
Yeah.
I won't go to like a neighborhood gas station. I make sure that if I don't have gas in my car, if I can make it home, I just bring it home. Shit, I'm calling AAA, you can bring me some gas because I'm not going to the gas station. That's just how I am. So what Mark Cuban said to me has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the way people are in this day and age. You have to be more cautious. You know, it used to be the neighborhood that you're in, but now it's not even the neighborhood because we had here 2 or 3 weeks ago where they were actually robbing people at stoplights. And we're not talking about in the city. For those of y'all who say, yes, she in Detroit, this did not happen in the city of Detroit. It happened in one of the suburbs of Detroit where they actually got a woman got boxed in at the intersection. A car pulled in front of her, a car behind her, and they boxed her in where she couldn't get out. And a young lady came out with a gun, held it on her. True enough, this did happen at 5 in the morning. But again, when you can't, but you can't stop at a stoplight at 5 in the morning, what do you do? Wait till it gets light outside to go to work? Come on now. I mean, at the end of the day, that's basically what they're saying. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, I'm like Mark Cuban. Shit, if I see somebody with a hoodie on,
well, that's
even
general.
On my street, when I'm on my own street, I have pulled up in my driveway and seen people walking down my street that look suspicious and not got out of my car and pulled back out and went driving around to see where the hell they went. I kid you not. And this is me coming to my home, sitting in my car, and if it's dark outside, I'm on the phone and I'm paying attention. I'm like, stay on the phone with me till I get in the house. I kid you not. And if I see someone walking down the street or I see a car that's not normally there or a headlight, guess what? I'm back in my car or I'm not getting out of my car and I'm driving down my street and I'm watching those people. So, Mark Cuban, I ain't mad at you.
No.
I love the fact that you said it. So whatever dumbass comment that he made this week that you're saying, I'm letting you know, Mark Cuban, I got your back, baby.
my thing was that you know, with the first thing he said, I didn't have no problem with. He was just saying he wasn't agreeing to what Donald Sterling was saying. He was just saying how scary it is that, you know, certain things you say are really being, you know, under the microscope, basically. You know, that's all he was saying. Like, he was saying, like, well, it's scary to think that you say some shit like that, you just lose something that you own like that. That's all. He wasn't condoning what he was saying.
Oh, yeah, well, I heard that, you know what, and I looked at what he said, and now, you know what, I guess, and maybe this is me being shallow, but because it's Mark Cuban,
mm-hmm.
I overlooked that one thing he said because I understood what he was saying, but then
yeah. mm-hmm.
the whole scheme of it, it wasn't just one thing that he said, and I think that's why I fucking ignored what Mark Cuban said on that point, because
mm-hmm.
this was not just one thing. This man has a history of being a racist.
Therefore, yeah.
the one thing is not what cost you your team. It's
yeah.
your final fucking action of that one. This was one in a million things that cost you. You have the feds already after you. You've been sued. You know, I'm telling you, even though they're making it to one comment,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that he had sued Doc Rivers.
Well,
I didn't. Is it Doc Rivers who used to work for him? Whichever coach used to work for him that was a black coach.
I thought you meant the GM. What's his name? He used to be Elgin Baylor. I think you mean.
Yeah. I didn't know they were in court.
Yeah, that was a GM because of supposedly it was racially and some other shit. Like
No, he sued somebody for an injury also. Some player he sued. He sued.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's notorious. So this is not, you know, and I was like, it's not just this one comment. I think the one comment, if he would have came out, if it was one comment and he apologized.
Which he never did.
It would be different. But it wasn't one comment and him apologizing. This is a history. And what happened is just sad piece recorded it.
Yep, to get back at him.
And she said she didn't leak it. I have to trust
Bullshit.
She didn't leak it. Shit, Monica Lewis. No, listen, Monica Lewinsky is not the one who gave out the dress. Remember, it was the ugly Lisa Tripp. So let's get that clear.
Okay.
Monica Lewinsky did not give the dress to them with the sperm on it.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Tripp did. Lisa Tripp is the one who actually recorded some of those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a friend who's profiting from this. You know, I'm just keeping it real. You know, she said she didn't, due to the fact that Monica Lewinsky, you know, she didn't do it either. It was Lisa Tripp, you know. It's always the ugly one. She probably got an ugly friend just like Monica Lewinsky had. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real. Lisa Tripp was the ugliest woman in the world. Yeah. Yes, and Lisa Tripp, if you're still out there, you're still an ugly woman, okay? I'm a woman calling you.
Monica Lewinsky wasn't a prize either, you know.
She wasn't a prize possession, but Lisa Tripp was uglier than her. Women. Monica Lewinsky was young and still had baby fat on her.
Yeah.
You know, and she was not even young.
Yeah.
Lisa Tripp was an old woman who wished she was doing the president.
Yeah, probably was.
Okay?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
That's how I put that in perspective. You've got side piece, V, whatever her name is.
She yeah, I know.
Recorded it. And one of her friends who wished she could have been a side piece, and, oh, he said this, I know how to get back at this, they probably made $250,000. They leaked it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you say bullshit. I say I'm going to take over for her word, and I think it's one of her tribes of friends. You know, somebody's always jealous because the people normally leak the stuff.
It's possible.
The leakers are the ones who profit.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Phil said he believed her when she said she didn't leak it. You know, we got to believe Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah. Please. Can't even say that with a straight face.
For made him famous. Let's go now.
Exactly. Yeah. How's he? Oh my god! Big mistake, Oprah. Why?
He's still getting paid.
Well, at least Dr. Oz is not as annoying. Then again, I don't watch his show, but
you know
he don't
what?
Seem as annoying as
no. But
Dr.
You know what?
You know.
Well, Dr. Oz has a lot of good health tips.
That's why.
See,
Dr. That's why.
Phil,
yeah.
Dr. Phil tells you how stupid you are, and that's bullshit. Dr.
Yeah,
Oz
is not even a real doctor anyway.
Do
I just feel like no fucking doctor. That's not a doctor doing what he's doing.
Dr. Oz is actually a real doctor, though.
No, him, yeah. But I'm talking about Dr. Phil. He's not a real doctor.
He's a psychiatrist.
Exactly. That's not a doctor.
My aunt. Okay, we can have a mini debate on this. My aunt is a sociologist, and she goes by Dr. Blackman, okay?
Okay,
oops.
Okay. I didn't hear it. But you hear a dumb one. If I knew that, I would have done this. Dr. Dude! Yeah, so.
Nobody heard me anyway. So.
Yeah, it's just us.
Yeah, who the hell listens to this show? And there are a million. First of all, there are a million doctors out there. So.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying. Dr. Phil, I'm not saying a psychiatrist is not a real doctor or sociologist. I'm talking about Dr. Phil himself. You know? I don't know.
Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
Dr. Ruth.
Sex.
She wasn't
that's
and you
sex.
Know her husband said that she wasn't giving it up or something.
Yeah, but look at her. Was she 5 foot, 4 foot five, whatever she was?
She was short.
She was short, Dr. Ruth. She's still alive?
I liked her accent.
Yeah. What was that accent? Dutch? What the fuck was that? You know?
I'm not sure. I love her accent. And you have to do it like this.
You have sex. You should have sex every day. Sex. So she's not like a Muppet. That's what
and
it was,
you,
like a dimensive Muppet.
And you sit on the penis.
Yes.
And you
and
sit
vagina.
On the penis.
And vagina. Call it. Remember she had a back in the we saw her.
Now, you know, there are some people who are saying, who the hell is Dr. Root?
Google
they're
it,
like,
motherfucker. Google it.
They'd be like, they done made up this woman called Dr. Ruth and they're imitating her.
No.
Dr. Ruth was the closest to sex that we were getting to when we were younger because unlike nowadays
famous.
Where you see ass and, well,
yeah.
unlike now, but see, nowadays they see ass and titties on TV and they see them having sex.
Yeah.
Remember, she was the closest to sex that we were going to get because she was the only one who was talking about it, but she was using proper terminology.
Yeah, and that's so stupid. It's funny how the read between, you know, between the line bullshit, if you say proper terminology, then it's okay, which is so stupid. So stupid. Everybody does it. It's like saying, well, you can't talk about eating. Why? Everyone eats. Or you can't talk about breathing. You know, it's so dumb. I never understood that shit. So stupid. And only in this country is that taboo. Everywhere else in the fucking world is okay. You know what I mean? They're not uptight like here.
But look how long it took for us to start using condoms in this country because other places in the world was already using condoms before they started using condoms here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, condom is a normal thing.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s and 80s, condoms weren't even really out.
Yeah,
but
it, was,
when
it
you
wasn't
went to
put
other
out there like
the world,
that. Yeah, you know.
Condoms were, they were prevalent in other parts of the world. They were not prevalent here.
Nope.
See, y'all, we told y'all we jump around. We always make sex some part of something.
Yeah, and it's not like purposely. It just happens. It comes back full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah, we do. Full circle. Got to fill that circle. We got to fill that circle with our thoughts and everything else. Yeah, and not purposely. We went over an hour and 39 minutes so far. You know, almost the 2 hour mark. That's good.
Well, we know that we'll get cut off, so we're going to make sure we don't get cut off because we're good for getting cut off. But
yeah, right.
You guys come back Tuesday because Tuesday is, it's all about sex.
Yeah.
And it's going to be us talking for 2 hours, so y'all better be calling in because Lord knows. Do y'all really want to hear the two of us talking for 2 hours about sex?
And not only sex, we go everywhere. We don't give a fuck. We'll go
we're going to go all over the damn place. We're going to have a whole road map. So if y'all don't want us all over the damn place, because y'all know we got ADD. We got serious ADD.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, and we coming up in June starts, Sunday.
The slow
so
start. The
y'all,
slow part of the season now.
Yeah, you know, so if y'all don't want to hear us just talking shit about sex, because, you know, we're going to get real graphic in a minute.
Yeah. You don't give a fuck. Yeah. I got no problem.
So if y'all don't want to, hear us talking for 2 hours in circles.
Yo, Ms. V, this reminds me. We got time. We got a little bit of time left. Yo, after we did the show, I think it was after we did the show Tuesday. So I, you know me, sometimes I actually call other shows. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, I've called on Naomi Banks' show. I've called on Miss Sapphire's show and actually been a guest on her show, you know, vice versa. So they, Sapphire was on this show. It's one of those, it's an actual internet TV show. I forgot the actual name of the, it was called Radio Temptation. And the two ladies that were hosting the show, their names were Bianca Breeze, who I never knew, to be honest with you, until I saw this, and Carla Lane, who's a plus-size porn star, too. So she was on there, so I had to call in to say what's up, right? Now, I got to send you the link. You'll laugh your ass off. You know, it's something you can look at your shit and laugh, you know. So I call in, right, to say, hey, what's up? You know, I just want to say what's up, da-da-da. Now, not knowing that they were forcing whoever was calling in to talk about the topic that they were talking about, which was how you like your dick being sucked.
Oh, my
right?
God.
So I had no idea. I had no idea this was going to happen. I told my lady this, by the way. She had no problem. I told her about this. I had no idea. So I called in. I was like the second call or whatever. Because she was, all right, if you talk about how you like your dick sucked, I'll give you, since my birthday just happened to be the other day, I'll give you a picture of my birthday suit. Now, for those of you who are slow or don't know what that means, a birthday suit, that means a picture of yourself naked.
I know what that means.
No, I know you. I'm talking about certain people out there. So I was saying what's up, whatever, and she goes, okay, now you got put on the spot. You have to tell us how you like your dick sucked. I was like, in my head, I'm like, huh? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to be a punk. I'm not going to hang up, right? So I was like, all right. So I told her, okay, well, I like it slow at first. And then, like, at the end, I like it hard. You know, like, so that way, you know, finish the act. And then she goes, oh, that's how you like it? Well, you know, yeah, I like it like that. My girl does it real good. And I go, you know how I know she was good at sucking dick? And they go, why?
Oh, my God.
And you go, why? It's because she sucks the meat off a chicken bone. When she eats chicken, she eats chicken. She, you know how she takes and you put it in your mouth and just takes the meat off like nothing? When I saw that, I was like, yes, she's a keeper. Yo, and they were laughing. But it was true. They were like, and Miss Sapphire, she goes, okay. She was kidding around. She was saying, okay, because I'm black, right? And you have to bring that up. You're talking about chicken. I was like, no.
Sapphire ain't got no damn good sense.
She's
she ain't
hilarious.
Got no sense at all.
Ah, she's hilarious. She's hilarious. Oh, you got to watch this show. I mean, they're like, it was funny. It was funny.
You have to send me the link because I'm.
Oh, you got to watch this. I might have to send Naomi this because she might even go, oh, my God, this motherfucker crazy than I thought. I had to say, there was no way, Miss V, there was no way I was going to hang out because I would have, first of all, that would have been a punk move, I feel. And two.
Well, you know, they did that to me on, what is her name when she still had her show on Blog Talk?
Oh, yeah, who's that?
And I took a picture of her when I was at AVN.
I guess it was nobody.
She's
porn,
a retired porn star.
Because you don't even remember.
No, you know what? I remember because it was so funny because I called into the show just cool. to say, hey, what's up?
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
ended up being put on the spot to do a fake orgasm and it happened to be somebody on her show knew who I was.
Oh, shit.
And Seika. I was on Seika's show.
She was hot. Yeah, I remember her.
I was on her show when she had her show last year, and they was like, okay. And I did her show, I think, after I had came back from Vegas. So a couple of her listeners knew who I was when I called in. And they were doing how to make a person come in orgasms. And, like, the guys, I just have this thing with people doing fake orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, I was like, I really didn't call in to do it. They was like, well, give us your best fake orgasm. I was like, really? And, you know, they were like, yeah. And I was just like, it's not really why I called. And they was like, come on now, you know, it ain't nobody listening. I'm like, yeah, it is. You know,
yeah,
I got,
you,
you know, my mind, I'm like, in my mind, I got a damn radio show. I know that there's folks listening. So I went on and did it, you know, and it was like, that's how I picked up a few of my listeners on my show, because they really
it worked.
Yeah, I picked up listeners.
There you go.
So they ain't bought no damn toys, but
well,
picked up new listeners.
There you go. Well, it'll lead to toys later on, hopefully.
If I could get a mold in my pussy, that would be great.
Would you ever do that?
I don't know if I'm in.
For a right price.
Yeah,
I would. You would, okay. Interesting.
A mold? Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, if I put it like this, considering that doing a mold is doing a mold one time, you're still not going to see my full body, so to me...
True.
If the mold is done right, I could sell it for a nice price because, see, I could do a limited edition and I could sign it.
Ooh.
You know, how they do the fleshlights. I could have the limited edition raised and signed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and make sign it. And that way, you know.
Limited edition, like about a couple hundred some shit or whatever, like 1,000.
Yeah.
Or something. You know.
No, 1,000 is too many. But
okay, so
if I did like 200.
Okay.
You know, if I did like 200 and had them where they had my signature on them, I mean, because it's just like when I go to these shows, I'm always signing stuff. I think I sign Ms. V so much that I don't even think I know how to sign anything else. Because I just have people randomly walking up to me, who are you? And I was like, I'm nobody. And they're like, well, you somebody to me, can you sign this? I mean, this one guy had all kind of signatures.
Uh-huh.
And I actually gave him a pen because he had a pen for me to sign his shirt, and I happened to have ink pens with me, and I was like, here you go, baby. I was like, you know what? He's like, I can have this. I was like, yeah. You know, and he got, you would have thought I gave him the world.
Wow,
I was
really?
Like, it's a V-Rock pen. Because he just, you know, all he did was he went to Exotica to get signatures. You know, he bought this T-shirt, and he wanted, I don't know what was going on, but he wanted signatures, and he stopped me because I was walking up to the stage for something. And he stopped me and asked me to sign his T-shirt. And I said, well, sweetie, I'm not nobody. I just sell toys. And he's like, you're somebody to me. And very nice young man.
That.
And
oh,
I signed it. And I gave
what
him an ink pen. And, you know, he, like I said, you would have thought that I gave him the world. And, you know, because I'm always, like I said, my fan base is a lot of the people who are the porn stars fan base. So they see me and it's like, yeah, you know. I still don't look at me as being a celebrity. You know,
yeah.
I'm mean. I sell
exactly.
toys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so when people come up and say they know who I am, I'm, you know, I guess I don't get the big head because I'm friends with so many people. It's like, okay, you know, we do our pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool. You know, as they say, I'm cool with doing my pictures and going on about my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think about it no more. I mean, I guess if maybe I did films, I would think I was somebody. I mean, true enough, I do have. There's so many pictures of me around. I guess I should think I'm somebody considering the purple V is my logo, the purple lady, you know, so people know that I have. We're actually doing a 6 foot tall purple lady in a few weeks.
Okay.
And the purple lady is on everything. I'm serious. The purple lady is on T-shirts. Purple lady is on our jackets.
Okay.
And for anybody who see, if you see somebody walking around with a V's After Dark jacket, there's only like 3 of them out there.
Wow.
They're not even limited edition because you have to be affiliated with the company to have the jacket.
Oh, wow.
That's how exclusive I made the jacket.
That's cool.
I wanted something that signified only people who were with my company.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of T-shirts out there because we give out T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the T-shirts are in the adult industry. A couple of fans have T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many fans have them. But But sure. Most of the adult industry has them. And then, like, different shows I've been on, they have them. You ain't never seen me your address. That's why you ain't got one. But,
Oh, okay. I will do that as soon as I hang up. I will,
But,
is Skype safe for me to put my address on it?
DM it to me. Because
okay.
I'll see it more in DM. Yes.
Okay. I'll
leave I was going to say, or email it to me. That's probably better. But,
yeah.
No, because we have our jackets, and we actually have, we had a hoodie that was for the fall, and we finally found some nice blue jean jackets. So
yeah,
I've got blue jean jackets that are going. So, we are a lot. I mean, like I said, but if you see anybody walking around with a blue jean jacket, seriously, it's either me or someone who works directly with my company.
Okay.
It won't be, you won't see a random with that on. And I'm not saying the fans are random, but a fan could, if you see a fan with a t-shirt, the odds of seeing a fan with a t-shirt will probably be greater, but I think there's only 5 fans that have t-shirts right now.
Wow.
Because I handed those t-shirts personally to those people.
Okay.
And I just feel that if you have too many of them out there, I think that for me, when I give out a t-shirt, it has to be someone who I think is truly a fan versus buy this, you get a t-shirt. You know, I just don't do it. You know, I really, because I want people who really want the t-shirt to get it versus people who just want something free.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
charge
for the hell of it. Yeah, I know. I want the t-shirt because I'm part of the show.
No, but I'm just saying for the other people, you know, there are people who like I know my fan that's in New York, you know, he was so sweet to me when I was in Vegas.
Okay.
So he has a t-shirt. And, you know, he didn't even ask for one. I asked him, I was like, you want a t-shirt? He's like, sure. You know, and I gave him a t-shirt. But you figure, I was in Vegas for 3 days, and I gave out one t-shirt.
Oh.
I think I had 5 in my suitcase. I'm very, very selective of who I give out the shirts to because I just don't want anyone to have them. I want people to know when you get this t-shirt, it really is truly
special.
A limited edition t-shirt. It's not something that everybody is getting.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can get an ink pen, but anybody can't get a t-shirt.
True. That's true.
Plus, I give them to people who actually wear them.
Yeah, exactly.
People are going to laugh at me, but I get a ton of t-shirts. You know how many t-shirts I really wear? I have like my favorite t-shirts that I wear, and you would think that my V's After Dark t-shirt would be one of my favorite t-shirts. I wear my V's After Dark t-shirt when I do shows.
Right.
I have other t-shirts that I wear when I'm running around. Like, I think my favorite t-shirt, you guys are going to laugh because we got a few minutes left, but
yeah,
we
can cut off again.
my favorite t-shirt, it's my Hard Rock Las Vegas t-shirt.
All right. That's cool.
I like the cut of it. So for anybody who would think my favorite t-shirt would be my personal t-shirt, my favorite t-shirt is actually my Hard Rock t-shirt. I like that one. I like the way it fit, but I'm not a t-shirt person. So when you see me in that t-shirt, it's because I'm really running around and I probably just threw it on with a skirt.
Mm-hmm.
The V's After Dark t-shirt is more of a casual shirt for me. It's not form-fitted. I think if I get the female shirts made, which mine are unisex, so I think that's the difference. My Hard Rock t-shirt is, you know, made for the curves.
Exactly.
It kind of shows off. And like I said, I like that t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the Hard Rock stuff, so it's anything. But normally, anybody who sees me, I'm normally always in, like, plain Jane clothes.
Yeah.
We had fun tonight. We almost went 2 damn hours, but we went around in a circle, but that's all right. We'll be back on Tuesday, you guys, and we'll be talking about sex, and more sex on Tuesday, and with a little bit of sports and a little bit of everything else. But you never know. We may have a guest by Tuesday. You know, we never know. So when we say we don't have a guest, we just don't have one lined up. That doesn't mean we won't get one because you, the audience, and the listeners are always our guests. So,
exactly.
If you want to, you can pick the topic.
Mhm. True.
Oh. We'll close up. Until next, you guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter at YankeeMan1973. That's Yankee 1973. And myself at Miss B the Toy Lady. That's MSBDATOYLADY. And we will talk to you guys on Tuesday. And make sure you listen to the Benchwarmers tomorrow live.
That's right, on Dollhouse Radio, 2 to 4 p.m., 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2-4 hours of craziness with me and Sammy Brooks. Yes, so check it out on Dollhouse Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Dollhouse Radio. So before we get cut off again, I want to say goodnight to everybody out there. Don't forget to check us out, V's After Dark, this coming up Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, we'll be here.
And, and we'll be tweeting. Have a good weekend, you guys.
Yes. You too, Ms. V, by the way.
Oh. Bye-bye.
Later, everybody. Ladies.
Good night.
Later. Later. Ladies and tomatoes.